Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the podcast. This, of course, is Stinchfield. I am Grant Stinchfield. I have a serious warning for all of you today. This pandemic treaty coming out of the World Health Organization is getting closer and closer to being voted on and then ultimately ratified by 194 member nations. The mainstream media is telling us, the World Health Organization is telling us, oh, don't worry, we've watered it down. These ideas of mandated vaccinations, of mandated lockdowns by some power-hungry global bureaucrat in another country. That's not going to happen. We've taken that out. I'm getting word from a lot of people that I trust that the WHO is going to tell the world that's the case and then get behind closed doors, change up the language, and if they can't do it there, they will use what they call the Convention of Parties to get together and then change this back to give them ultimate power over what is dubbed health emergencies or a pandemic that may have nothing to do with a pandemic and everything to do with power. It's about American sovereignty. Quite frankly, it's about every nation's sovereignty, but I don't care about the other nations. What I care about right now is America, and I do not want to give up our sovereignty to people with the World Health Organization, so aligned with the globalists that are for an open border society, one world order. That's their words, not mine, and it is frightening stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about today on the podcast, and then also medical journals. Wanted to have it both ways when it comes to the vaccine. I'm going to show you, it's almost comical how they protect the vaccines at the same time they're trying to slam the vaccines related to COVID. We'll go through some of that writings as well. Of course, this edition of Stinchfield is brought to you by The Wellness Company. So important you get with them when it comes to these prescription medication kits. You got to have them in your house. And I mean, you have to have them. These are life-saving kits. The website is on your screen, twc.health/Grant. Use that promo code Grant. Great deals there for you. Promo code Grant, 10% off. And really, get these kits. You got to have it in case you need it. And again, you'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. It's the old adage when it comes to things like this. The Wellness Company getting it done. All right, with that, folks, let's get the party started and then we'll get to our guest.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, welcome, folks. Our guest is Dr. Harvey Risch from The Wellness Company. He's the chief epidemiologist there. Doc, it is great to have you on the program.
Great to be with you.
All right, your thoughts now as we get closer and closer to this pandemic treaty. We were told this is the month. Actually, we were told this is the week that it would be voted on at the World Health Organization. What is it, 194 member nations. We've been sounding the alarm on this. Where does it stand? What do you think?
Well, it was supposed to have come to some kind of vote last week, and that was deferred because there was a disagreement. The UK said it would not stand behind it on the basis of something that has been less of a concern for us, but the UK didn't like that they would have to give away 20% of their vaccines for free to other countries. And for them, that was a big ticket item. For us, the sovereignty issue is a much bigger issue than that. But basically what that did is the WHO said, okay, we'll take this negotiation behind closed doors, meaning back rooms. And so that's what they're doing with it. They're hiding the fact that it's a treaty by calling it an agreement. They're doing everything they can to manipulate the honesty of this. And at the same time, they're asking us to trust them. Yeah. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous.
You know, you mentioned, I mean, anytime you hear the words, two things you mentioned, secret and behind closed doors. We can go to Washington, D.C. and find plenty of those meetings going on. But when it comes to the World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, these types of groups, secret and behind closed doors is not a good thing, especially when it's not really Americans calling the shots for what could have a huge outcome on all of us.
Well, that's right. And there's, again, a plausibility argument that somehow a coordinated universal worldwide effort will help to actually solve a real pandemic. And, even COVID was mismanaged from the start. The WHO mismanaged it. Our National Security Council that managed the pandemic mismanaged it, grossly mismanaged it. And they're saying, oh, well, just give us the power. It's like, you know, communist revolutions, all the other ones have failed, but just we know how to do it right. So we'll do it right. And, you know, nobody believes this stuff. Yeah. Nobody. cried wolf way too many times. Nobody believes it.
This Tedros character, who's the head of the World Health Organization, he's been a disaster from the very start. He covered for China. I want to remind everybody this. This is the guy that covered for China when we know that this was a lab leak, the virus that was unleashed really on the world. Let me play a clip for you of him describing what he wants out of this pandemic treaty.
We need to have a binding agreement in order to prevent or to early detect and respond in a better way. So,
and that's what you're hoping for this year.
Exactly.
That's what you're hoping to see this year.
As we speak, member states are now negotiating.
Yes.
And I have been following the negotiation, and I'm hopeful that by May 2024, there will be a deal.
All right, Doc, do we need a binding agreement in order to stop a pandemic?
No, we need a general agreement on ideas and methods, but they can't be binding. Why do they need to be enforced by outside of our country? Yeah. If these ideas are wholesome and productive and useful and solve the problem that we need to be solved, they don't need to be binding, because everybody would take them up and put them into practice in their own countries automatically on the basis of their best efforts for themselves. The binding aspect is a fraud. It doesn't need to be binding in order for us to be doing these things.
All right, so some of the things that were talked about early on, forcing mandatory lockdowns, that if you agree to this treaty, which really it is what it is, that the World Health Organization could lock America down. You're talking about mass vaccinations and mandating vaccinations from the World Health Organization. And then even vaccine passports, which lists of people held by the government, in my opinion, are never, ever a good thing. These are all the things that now the World Health Organization is saying, oh, no, wait a second. We're going to back off some of that stuff. I'm sounding the alarm, Dr. Risch. I don't believe they're backing off anything. I think they may tell us that. But we've seen with this organization and our own government, really big pharma working with the CDC, the NIH, World Health Organization, and China. They tell us one thing. Meanwhile, something else is going on behind closed doors. This is their history. Why would I believe them on this?
You shouldn't believe them. I don't believe them. Nobody should believe them.
It's that simple.
They have no track record of trustworthiness.
All right. You mentioned Great Britain. Nigel Farage is a terrific conservative. He's been speaking out, really, talk about sounding the alarm. This guy's been on the front line saying this thing is not good. Let me play a clip from him.
It would give the World Health Organization the ability, number one, to take away 20% of our PPE and vaccines to give to other parts of the world. Number two, give them the power to dictate behavior, such as mask mandates, such as not being able to travel without being jabbed, goodness knows how many times. Mm-hmm. And the really big one, they would be able to say to us, this is now a global pandemic, you must lock down.
All right, so again, reiterating what I said. Now, he brought up what you brought up. This idea of having to give out some of their vaccinations, their PPE, and send them to other countries. Would America not be subject to this?
Yes, we would. But I think we have the economic wherewithal to be able to do that if we chose to do that. So I think it's less of an issue for us. The lockdown is a much bigger issue. The lockdowns failed. The PPE failed. The vaccines failed. We know that all of this failed because the CDC does periodic surveys of blood donations for antibodies to the virus and antibodies to the vaccine. And they found, as of the end of last year, that 87%, more than 87% of the U.S. population has had COVID. Mm-hmm. So what good did everything we did? What good did the lockdowns do? What good did the vaccines do? None of that mattered because almost everybody got COVID anyway. The whole thing was a failure.
This is why I think you had mentioned they mismanaged the response. Did they mismanage it, or did they know exactly what they were doing?
Well, that's a difficult question, in the same way as, was the virus intentionally released or was it accidentally released? There, it's very difficult to provide evidence one way or the other. Mm-hmm. My feeling is that there was an intentional mismanagement in order to cover up the fact that this was a bioweapon research product that came out of bioweapons development that violated the 1975 pandemic treaty that Gerald Ford signed. and that the first cover-up was to cover up the origin of the virus, the massive cover-up orchestrated by Fauci, Farrar, Collins, to get a whole bunch of scientists to say that this came out of a wet market, not that it was a lab-developed product. And the second was to force-feed the vaccines to every moving being on the planet in order to prove that the vaccines were the actual result of the research and not the organism, the bioweapon itself.
Yeah, and that's where the money play comes in with Big Pharma. And then I agree with you in the fact that I don't know whether we can prove it was an intentional release from the lab, but what I am absolutely 100% convinced of was this bioweapon was being researched in cooperation with EcoHealth Alliance, United States money. Fauci knew about it. This thing somehow escapes, whether it was intentional or not, but it was allowed to spread. At least China allowed it to spread on purpose. While China locked down its nation, it allowed international flights to the rest of the world. Go figure. I think that was on purpose to spread it that way. And so now you had the World Health Organization covering for China. I think that is a fact too. Would you not agree early on that China was, the WHO was covering for China early on?
Well, yes, because a huge chunk of hundreds of millions of dollars to the WHO was provided by China. But I think that the Chinese lockdown was too little too late in the first place. I think that this was out well before that they locked down, and their lockdown was useless, just like our lockdown was useless, just like everywhere else.
All right. Lastly, on this pandemic treaty, because I want everyone literally calling their United States senators, their lawmakers to push back on the Biden administration signing on to this. This is a woman named Ms. Nass who is calling it. I won't play her whole clip because what she says in the very beginning here is so important. She calls it a coup. And I want you to hear this.
We're undergoing a soft coup. And the idea is to create a whole new set of laws and ignore the existing human rights laws and other laws under the pretext of pandemic preparedness and the biosecurity agenda.
All right. A soft coup. Fair assessment or not, Dr. Risch?
Oh, completely. But that we've been under a soft coup for the last 4 years anyway. Here in the United States, we've all experienced it. When pandemic rules, the declared emergency supersedes our constitutional rights, that's a coup. Don't forget that the founding fathers in this country knew what pandemics were. They were dealing with smallpox all the time. Yet the Constitution doesn't say, oh, well, these rights are suspended in the time of a smallpox outbreak. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there because they took all of that in stride. They knew that was part of nature and one had to deal with it. And one doesn't suspend a constitution because you have a medical need at a certain time. That applies to us today. We should not be suspending the constitution, enforcing all these behaviors. We should be basically showing people that they can improve their circumstances if they choose to do something, but they need informed consent for that, just like we need informed consent for everything else. And informed consent means we need objective information about the benefits and harms and not outrageously, extolled benefits and suppressed information about harms.
Well, that leads me into the company you're associated with, the wellness company. And I want to just tell everybody, you want to take matters into your own hands. You got to get with the wellness company, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code grant for 10% off. It is about aligning yourself with doctors that can critically think, like Dr. Risch and others, who can help you navigate through the next health event or health emergency that we may face. Or they can help you navigate whatever health emergency you might face with their telehealth aspect of the company. But more importantly, I would want you right now, if I could tell you to do anything, is to get their emergency medical kit that has the prescription medications, antivirals, antibiotics in these kits that you can get. And you can get the speed of getting these drugs into your body if you are sick, rather than having to wait for a drugstore that, God forbid, is closed down or a cyber attack or a natural disaster or who knows what, or a shortage of these drugs. These are life-saving medications, the most common that you may need, including ivermectin, by the way, which, depending on where you live, can be very difficult to get, and who your doctor is can be difficult to get. these kits have ivermectin. So again, I have numerous counts of these kits in my house. I urge you to do the same. The wellness company, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code grant, twc.health/grant. Use the promo code grant for 10% off. I promise you, you will not regret it. All right, Dr. Risch, I saw an article out by one of your colleagues, Dr. Peter McCullough, and I found myself laughing, but it's not funny at all because it was medical journals and he had numerous ones. And I'm going to show you some of the cutouts here and I'll read some of them to you. But medical journals that were calling into question the safety of the vaccine. But then at the end of every one of these studies, it would say how remarkable the vaccine is. The vaccine's a blockbuster. This is great. And it's helping us stop the spread and all these crazy things. It's as if they're forced to put this so-called disclaimer that doesn't even make sense. It's so out of place in these studies. What's going on here?
Well, I agree with you. In order to get these studies through the publication process and to keep them from being censored, they have to put in this conforming language to make people think that no matter how bad the vaccines are in the paper, that they should still think positively of them.
All right, let me show you some of these. So this study, this is about acute myocardial infraction and myocarditis following COVID-19 vaccinations. It ends here saying, for now, COVID-19 vaccines remain the cornerstone in our fight against the contagion. Meanwhile, the report was calling into question the vaccine, but then says they're the cornerstone of the fight against the contagion? No, they're not. And I think they know they're not.
Well, that study was published in 2021 when everything was in vaccine frenzy mode. And, you know, things have settled out a bit. We know that today that the vaccines don't prevent spread, don't prevent transmission very well. The CDC has admitted to that in August of 2021 and subsequent. So we know that the vaccines have failed for the purpose that they were put onto the usage. But in fact, the vaccines were never actually approved for that. The vaccines were approved in the EUA language to prevent getting infected. For the person who takes the vaccine to prevent getting infected. According to FDA law, vaccines cannot be marketed for, or anything, cannot be marketed for a purpose other than which they've been approved. So being approved for the person who takes them is one thing, but it's all been represented that these vaccines prevent spread, which means that if I get vaccinated, I'm prevented from spreading the infection to other people. That was never tested in the approvals. The EUA approvals do not speak to transmission, and therefore representing that these vaccines prevent spread is contrary to FDA law. It is actually violates the EUA approval process and FDA law.
And will there be any ramifications for violating the law? It seems to me like the regulators are right on board with it all.
Well, there's been so much violation of law, as we've seen in the last 4 years. It's all catch me if you can.
Yeah. Let me give you another example here that was written out. This is acute myocardial infraction within 24 hours. It starts with, as the COVID-19 vaccination campaign moves toward a new phase around the world and vaccines have become more available in general public, more data will be available on the safety and potential side effects. But it goes on to say, furthermore, these two case reports should not dampen enthusiasm for vaccination. So they're giving you the case reports of myocarditis, but then don't worry, Dr. Risch, don't be dampened. The vaccines are still great. It's just out of place.
Well, so again, this was in 2021, but let me illustrate this with what I call the bridge problem. So an engineer, an architect, builds a bridge over a river and does calculations and says this bridge is 99.999% safe. And he's ecstatic. He, you know, 99.999% safe. How much better than that could you do? And then what he finds out after the bridge is opened, that 100,000 people per day are going across that bridge. And because it's 99.999% safe, one car out of that 100,000 every day is dropping into the river. And so the people think this is a dead lead bridge. Every day, day in, day out, some car goes into the river. And so what's the question here? The question is, well, if there's a post office on the other side of the bridge, would you drive over the bridge to go there? Well, of course you would. As an individual, your risk is vanishingly small of anything happening. But when there's hundreds of thousands of people doing that, somebody is going to be affected. And now multiply that 100,000 to 200 million, and you can see it's not one car dropping, it's thousands of cars dropping. So that's what we've had with the vaccines. We've had healthy people in large populations taking hundreds of millions of these doses. And because the risks are very small, but not zero, tens or hundreds of thousands of people have had severe and in some cases fatal reactions to the vaccines. Now, this is a societal values question about how safe is safe enough for vaccines. In the past, FDA has pulled vaccines when there's been many fewer serious adverse events from them. That did not happen in COVID for reasons that we could discuss but are uncertain. But the bottom line is that hundreds of thousands of people have been seriously adversely affected by these vaccines. And even so, that's a relatively small number out of the hundreds of millions who've taken it. So each side can believe its point that the vaccines are safe from all the people who've escaped those serious injuries, as far as they know. Whereas the hundreds of thousands of people who've been harmed by the vaccines can say, these are deadly vaccines and they're unsafe and nobody should take them. Each side is right.
So what's the answer then? I mean, one, would you agree that the vaccines just aren't working? But forget about this adverse side effects. They aren't working. Is that correct assumption?
Well, that's my opinion because of the empirical data from CDC that more than 87% of the population gotten COVID. Then, so what good did they do? They didn't.
Okay. So I'm not a doctor, but I like to think of myself as a doctor of common sense. If the vaccines aren't working and you have this very small percentage of people with very serious side effects, but they aren't working, well, then I would say get rid of them altogether. They don't work. You'd stop the small percentage of people now that get the serious side effects. If they were working and they were great and these vaccines stopped you from getting it, but you had a very small portion, well, then I think you could make the argument that, you know what, if only one out of 500,000 people are going to come down with a side effect, maybe it's worth it because they're working so well. But you can't make that argument with these vaccines.
Well, the problem is that we don't have an accurate risk-benefit analysis. We've heard these modeling studies that purport to claim 20 million people, their lives were saved from them, all this absurd nonsense based on false, improper assumptions that went into the modeling. What we're seeing, of course, is increased all-cause mortality in working-age people starting at the end of 2021 into 2022 and going forward. And we're seeing, you know, perhaps there's cancer incidence data that are showing increases. We can't prove that this is from the vaccines. But the point is that COVID itself was not as damaging an illness, particularly in the Omicron era, as it was represented. The vaccines, we have little evidence that they prevented severe illness and death. It's possible that they did in the early part of their rollout the pre-Omicron era, but we have very little evidence of that fact now. And so the question is, what are we doing with them now and why are they still there when they're useless?
When they're useless, and that's the key. And so this is where I try to be intellectually honest. I don't like these vaccines because they don't work and they do cause damage, even if it's a small number of people relative to the amount of people that have taken them. I'm not a fan of these vaccines, but I am intellectually honest. So when you look at situations like the blood clotting or myocarditis or these things, I still challenge people to tell me, is it COVID that's causing the blood clotting because, you know, so many people have COVID now, or was it the vaccine that caused the blood clotting? And I'm not sure anybody's able to really tell me. If you're anti-vaccine, you're going to tell me it's the vaccine. If you're anti-COVID, you're going to tell me it's COVID. But I don't know which one it is. I just know that since 2020, we've all of a sudden had this huge increase of blood clotting and myocarditis. The thing that changed is we had COVID and we have the vaccine. I can't tell you which one's which. Am I making sense?
You're making a lot of sense. That we know that respiratory viruses can cause myocarditis in the past, but it's exceedingly rare. And it's, you know, these are the zebras that doctors look for and hardly ever find in making diagnoses. But in COVID, it's been more prevalent. And with the vaccination, it's been more prevalent. One could try to do studies where you look at vaccinated people who've never had COVID or people with COVID who are unvaccinated. Those are not quite crystal clear and not so easy to do, but possible. But the numbers aren't large enough in general to see the small numbers of these serious adverse events. So we're a little bit in the dark about that. The one thing that I can say is that the offending molecules are the same in the virus and in the vaccine, the spike protein.
Yeah.
And it appears that the vaccines provide a much larger exposure of the spike protein to the body than the virus does itself.
Yeah.
That remains to be scientifically established, but that's my general impression.
And I'm with you there. And then this gets back to the medical studies that are published and these out of place, I would say, vaccine bias statements. If all we want is the truth, just get down to the truth and publish it. But there is a vaccine bias out there. I'll show you one more. This study was from 2023. Therapeutic Advances Drugs. The headline, I don't have it on the screen because I zoomed in on this, but serious neurological adverse events following immunization against SARS-CoV-2, a narrative review of the literature. And so it's talking about neurological events. And then it says at the end, nevertheless, neurological AEFIs can be serious, life-threatening, or even fatal. In sum, COVID-19 vaccines are generally safe, and the risk of neurological AEFIs does not outweigh the benefits of immunization. Is that statement needed in this study, or is that to appease the publishers, whoever is trying to appease whoever else at the top level?
Well, that's an appeasement statement because I don't know of any empirical evidence that's reliable that proves that statement is true. You can think it, but I don't know that there's evidence for it.
In the end, what do we do going forward now? Because I've lost total confidence, Doc, in the medical establishment. That means, you know, I know the guys at the wellness company. I know you and Dr. Thorpe and Dr. McCullough and others who I really do trust. But I would walk into my local doctor's office today and I would have no confidence in my local doctor, seeing what has happened here after the pandemic. What do we do moving forward when it comes to confidence in the medical establishment? And certainly I have no confidence in the regulatory environment over these doctors from a national and state level.
Well, I share your anxieties. You know, I would invoke trust but verify, but even that's difficult at a personal level. Even for us doctors, it's difficult.
And I guess that's where the wellness company comes in. I mean, literally the telehealth aspect of all of this is most certainly helpful. And I guess you can ask any question you want when you call up for an appointment, can you not?
Of course.
Yeah. Good stuff. Dr. Harvey Risch, I so appreciate you coming on the program as always. And it's great having you on, but it's also depressing at times to talk about this stuff. But hopefully we turn it around.
We have to keep trying. That's right.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you, sir. And folks, don't forget about the wellness company. Again, my friends over there, such a great company. So happy to be aligned with them. TWC.health/Grant. Use that promo code GRANT for 10% off those emergency medical kits. I'm telling you, folks, that's where I want you to go. Also, Dr. Risch mentioned the spike protein. They got the spike support product, which is fabulous to help you deal if you took the vaccine or if you've had COVID to eliminate some of the effects of that spike protein. That's great. Their supplements, the telehealth, everything associated with the wellness company is fabulous. Again, twc.health/Grant. But again, one final warning. Get yourself one of these prescription medication kits before you need it. Your kid's going to need one of these drugs. You'll have it on hand. You can get it in their system sooner than later. That saves lives. There is no need not to have it. I've got ammunition. I've got food. I've got water. I've got power. I also have prescription medications. It's all part of that safety protocol in my household. Make it part of yours. TWC.health/Grant. We will see you on the Real America's Voice show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for watching, everybody. So great to have you along.